two familiar sayings. Most of them, or some of them, I'm sure you've heard from one time or another. Maybe you heard the saying that says, "She is pretty as a picture." Probably refers to my wife, Tammy. Or, "He is strong as an ox." If you ever seen Hank Miles hang drywall, you would say that. Or, "He was old as dirt." I won't say who that describes. Or how about "He was quick like a bunny"? You've heard that one maybe. Or he was wise as an owl. Various sayings. I don't know if there's any other ones out there, but that is coming to your mind. One I think you've all heard is, "He was a pillar in the community." Oftentimes heard or read in an obituary maybe. I'm sure you've heard these sayings before. You can think of many more. I'd like to focus on that last one today. "He was a pillar in the community." What do you think when you hear that statement? Or maybe it says, "She was a pillar in the community." Usually we think of someone that's well-respected, maybe dedicated, supportive, possibly a leader, but not necessarily. They were probably an upright person, someone who may have stood strong for a cause, or maybe someone who helped build or unify their community. People who are considered to be pillars have certain qualities that are reflected in how they live their lives. Qualities that are evident to everybody around them. I'm really warm up here. If any of you guys want to take off your jackets, you are welcome to do it. Maybe it's this warm in here all the time. Have you ever heard of someone described as being a pillar in God's church? Mr. Miles took his off. A couple more guys take their jackets off. I'll probably do the same. All you ladies are saying, "No, no, it's perfect temperature in here. It's perfect temperature." Now, I know that many times you think of a pillar as something maybe large, white, fluted, and old. As I look around the room, you might think that I'm referring to some of you in that manner. Hope you understand that you don't have to change a thermostat for me. It's fine. If you ladies and everybody else is comfortable, don't change it for me. When I look around this room, I certainly see dedicated people with Christian qualities and qualities that I want to learn from, qualities that I want to follow and possess. I see both young and old people serving and being pillars in various ways. And again, you don't have to be old to be a pillar. I want to stress that. You simply need to be striving to reflect the qualities of a pillar. The youth in our church should be, and hopefully we as parents are teaching them to serve in various ways. I see that happening here afterwards. As Josh's kids or somebody else's kids, I sometimes see them coming around and picking up the hymnals. I like that and certainly want to encourage that. As I was researching this subject of pillars, I found that there are numerous definitions of the word pillar. Webster's defines it, and I'd like to focus on that today. It says that a pillar is an upright supporting part. It's an upright or supporting part. In addition, some synonyms for the word pillar are a gilder or a leader, a light, a strength, a supporter, an upholder, and worthy. These are all words that I'm sure all of us would like to be said about us, or maybe describes us. As you can see, there are numerous analogies that we can draw, and I like to do that, between the pillars and that of Christians. Today I'd like to discuss the qualities of a pillar and how they relate to us as Christians. What is a pillar and what does it do? What does it do? Let's read a little bit about pillars in the Bible. I wish to first see what a pillar is made of. In home building trade, pillars, of course, are made of different things. Sometimes in a basement, you'd have a metal pillar. Sometimes they're made of metal or cement. Here in America, unfortunately, they're oftentimes made with wood and maybe wrapped in plastic or wrapped in metal. That's probably one of the reasons why our homes only last 100 or 200 years. Unlike those in Europe where the pillars are made of stone In biblical times, let's look at the pillars. In the 19th chapter of Proverbs, it discusses, and we'll read a little bit if you wish to turn to Proverbs 9, rather, not 19, but Proverbs 9. The 9th chapter of the book of Proverbs discusses and contrasts two types of houses. It says that every one of us has to choose which type of house we want to live in. It's obvious by the context that each house represents a way of life. One house is made of and is of wisdom. The other house is the house of foolishness. A fool, of course, is someone that's deficient in judgment or someone that lacks good sense. I think all of us are foolish at times where we make poor decisions or make bad moves. The book of Proverbs provides us an insight into God's desire or His preference on what kind of house we should have. In the book of Proverbs, this Hebrew word for wise or wisdom is interesting. The Hebrew word for wise means skillful or practical at living life. I like that. It's interesting to me. The Hebrew, the word simply means wise or skillful or practical at living life. If that's something that should be something that interests all of us, I think we'd all want to get good at or become skillful at life. It's an understandable definition, something I can grasp. Vine's Expository Dictionary says the Hebrew word wise means a mastery of the art of living in accordance with God's expectations. That's it exactly. Living according to His expectations. It's the art of living according to the expectations that God has for each of us. And we're starting to see what a pillar is. To me, succinctly, that interests me. Tell me, what exactly do you expect of me, God? I know there's lots of good things to do, lots of things I should do, lots of things that I do by human nature, but it interests me on what is expected of me. Let's go to Proverbs 9 and verse 1. If you're not there already, turn to Proverbs 9 and verse 1. Heading on my Bible says Wisdom's Invitation. Turn there myself. I have it in my notes, but talks about this earthly sanctuary here. It says, Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. It talks about the pillars. It's interesting the verse mentions seven pillars in Hebrews. I wrote down Hebrews. I turned to Hebrews, Proverbs 9. Let me turn there instead. My apologies. Hebrews might be interesting, but not today, or not right now. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her tables. It goes on and talks about her house. It's interesting. The verse mentions seven pillars there in verse 1. Pillars are basically supports that hold up the building. They give it strength. In the Bible, of course, remember, seven is the perfect number or a word that describes completeness or perfection. The point is that wisdom is the perfect guide for life. Wisdom is a perfect ingredient for the making of pillars. In our analogy, if the combination of metal and concrete or perhaps stone are the perfect ingredients or the perfect building materials, then godly wisdom is the perfect ingredient for us becoming pillars in God's church and family. That's a great prayer for us to have. God, give me the wisdom that I need. Help me to be smart enough to make good decisions. Although the book of Proverbs does not go immediately and give us a list of the seven specific pillars or components of wisdom, there are principles found in the Bible and found in the 30 chapters of Proverbs that give us the ability to understand what I call possible pillars that we can use in God's church to build upon. Sanchino's commentary makes this comment. It says, this word picture of wisdom's house, having seven pillars, is indicative of a mansion built around a courtyard, the structure being supported by three pillars on each side and one in the center on the third side facing the open space which has the entrance. So you have three on one side, three on the other side, and one at the entrance in the center. He said, you picture looking at a house. There's one main pillar in the center of the front and three pillars on the side. And interesting enough, these seven pillars hold up the house. That's the principle that we find here in Proverbs 9 and verse 1. Wisdom has built her house and has hewn out seven pillars. So wisdom is essential. Wisdom is important. And perhaps the million-dollar question is, do we realize it's important and are we asking for it, praying for it daily? It's the number one ingredient of a strong pillar in God's church. Pray and ask for wisdom. More could be said, of course, on the subject of a spiritual pillar, but let's move on and see what some of these spiritual pillars do. Point number one, if you're taking notes, point number one, a pillar, of course, provides support. A pillar provides support. In ancient days, pillars were made of stone, and they were the main support of a structure or a building. Probably a no-brainer, but they were essential. Seldom, if ever, were they made or put in strictly for looks. We do that in today's building. We hold up the building in other ways than we put in pillars or good-looking supports. Well, they're not really supports, but they look like they are. Back in biblical times, they were always to support the structure. Likewise, in the church, we are to provide support. Support to the administration, support to headquarters, support to the ministry, and support to the members in our congregation. And that, of course, is something we can do both young and old. Just as a pillar holds up a roof, we too hold up the structure of the church. We hold the church together. They need our support. It is essential. Put in your notes, if you don't mind, Romans 14 and verse 7. The New American Standard Bible reads in Romans 14 and verse 7, says, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. This verse says that we don't live for ourselves and we don't die for ourselves. In modern vernacular, we could say, no man is an island. In other words, we shouldn't be out there living and just working for ourselves. It's intriguing to me. I don't know where that saying comes from. No man is an island. It supposedly originated with a quote from John Donne from the 14th century. It says, human beings do not strive when isolated from each other. If you're living on an island by yourself, you're not going to grow and thrive. Even though it sounds interesting to live on an island, I think there are certain negatives to that. Actually, I know Mr. Arnold Hampton, the minister in the Caribbean, lives in South Miami, owns an island. I've talked to him several times. It is totally uninhabited. He hasn't been there for years. I don't think there's any running water or any electricity on the island, but I keep talking with him. I'd like to go to your island sometime. And I don't know if he has bad memories or just knows that it's not inhabitable or not that nice, but it sounds nice to me. I always talk to him. I was like, when are we going to go to your islands? Somewhere in the Barbados. I know there's lots of, not in Barbados, but in the Bahamas. I know there's lots and lots of islands there. And anyway, it might be just a sand island. Who knows? But it's always interesting to me. But of course, not a place that we can live alone anyway and support others or even grow ourselves. So how can we be a pillar in the church? How can we give support for others? First, we need to define and determine what our capabilities and our strengths are. And then we need to do some action or take action with them. In other words, go home and think, what am I good at? What do I excel at? What do I have to give? I know some of you here, of course, are good at technical things, so they serve on the sound. Some of you ladies says, can't do it, hardly turn on my own radio. But you're good at baking or cooking, and if you bring treats, You don't realize for us guys, maybe for you ladies, how much some snacks at church helps make the Sabbath. I always think of myself as being pretty shallow when food really helps make my day. It's a little bit embarrassing to tell you that, but food really helps make my day. So you ladies that cook or bake and feed either your family or bring something in for church, that really helps and makes people's day. So anyway, find out, not that those are the only two things you can do, run sound or cook, and there are all kinds of things that you can do. So first go home and think, what capabilities do I have? Can I drive? Can I give rides? Can I pray for others? Can I write cards? Can I call people up on the phone? Can I email them? Think and then do something. Take action with what you can do. Hopefully you're thinking about spring holy days, not too far away, thinking of ways that you can plan and make that more special for your family, for those of us in the church. It's an opportunity for you to serve and share the talents that God has given you with others. It ultimately, it not only makes it more enjoyable for others, but it helps you grow and it helps others grow. I was in Dallas, Texas congregation for church a few years ago, and Mr. Andre Van Belkom from New Zealand was in town and gave the sermon. The subject was serving. It struck a chord with me because he mentioned one of the main things we are doing on earth is using our talents and our bodies and combining it with godly wisdom to serve God and His people. I know sometimes after Winter Family Weekend, I feel like I have just used up my body. I know it's a good thing to do, but I am tired. What am I doing? I need to get a life. And it struck me, because you're using your talents and your bodies. Sometimes I think I have some talents. Most of the time I just feel like I have a body that we haul stuff. We, of course, have stuff at the church hall and stuff at our storage unit. And I'm trying to think of the term. I can't think of the term, but there's another guy that helps me, but we haul our stuff. What's the term I'm looking for? Don't know. Anyway, schlep. There's the word I was looking for. We schlep stuff here and we schlep stuff there. For those of you with maybe kids, those of you that are guys with kids, you probably feel that way because you schlep it out to the car, you get to church, you schlep all the kids' stuff in, and then you schlep it back out. So anyway, don't know if you're familiar with that term or not, but it's a great term. For those of you guys on the sound system, you no doubt week after week, you get tired of schlepping the speakers out and schlepping them back in. So, but it's a way that we can serve, and that point hit home for me. We are on earth using our talents, hopefully developing our talents, also using our bodies, hopefully then combining it with godly wisdom to serve God and His people. That's what we're doing on earth, growing in wisdom and serving others. Seldom does a week go by without me asking myself, what and why am I doing all this? And I remind myself that I'm, again, just like you guys, trying to use my talents and my body, hopefully adding that godly wisdom to serve God and to serve His people. Maybe your age or your health won't allow you to schlep things. There's a vocab word for you today, schlep. All of us, though, there are things that we can do. We, of course, can pray for each other. I often remind Tammy's mom, a widow, that the Bible is very, very clear about the power of the prayer of a widow. When I really need something, really want God's help, I will oftentimes go to her and maybe sometimes Mrs. Haley, other widows, because their prayer, the Bible speaks very, very clearly, their prayers are very powerful and maybe more powerful than others. So you can certainly pray for others even if you can't do other things that you might like to do. We can all serve and support others by following what we're told in James 5 and verse 16. Let's read that, drive home that point. James chapter 5 and verse 16, if you can turn there. Thank you very much for opening up that door for a little bit. It feels very nice in here. James 5 and verse 16 says, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5 and verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He went out on a limb and told the people what God was going to do, and then he went back and prayed earnestly and asked God, hey, help me follow up on my word, make them believe in your power. And he prayed again after 3.5 years and said, God, let it rain. It hasn't rained for 3.5 years. Now it's time for some rain. How about some rain, God? And it rained, and the earth produced its fruit. It's a familiar scripture that tells us that the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man can and does have amazing results. We also support the church throughout, or support our church through our tithes and our offerings. Some of you are out in the workforce. When I say off the streets and hitting, off the sheets, hitting the streets, running it early in the morning, part of how you serve is through your tithes and offerings. That's an important part as well. Allows the church to fulfill its commission of preaching the gospel and preparing the people. I went out to lunch with Mr. Taylor, the church's treasurer, and that was Tuesday, I guess, and he did mention to me that they found a piece of land that is would be great to build on, not too far. It's in McKinney, and not too far from the office in Allen. We haven't heard back from the seller yet, but offered him, I think, a fair price, and then a charitable receipt for another section of land right next to it, which would allow for some growth. So certainly pray about that. Anyway, tithes and offerings allows for the preaching of the gospel. They say in every organization, 20% of the people support 80% of the group. We can ask ourselves, what group are we in most of the time? Are we in the 20% or are we in the 80% being supported? Remember, a pillar, that's what we're talking about today, a pillar provides support. Find a way to support the church and then take action to do it is my encouragement for you. Point number two, a pillar stands strong and bears others' burdens. A pillar stands strong and bears others' burdens. In construction terms, a pillar bears the weight or the load of a structure. Pillars don't just decide one day to stop supporting the building. They, of course, stand strong. Just redid a home that we're living in, moved in 2 weeks ago, and we put in an engineered beam in the basement, and we put in two supports on each side. It happened to be 3 2x8s, and I'm hoping that they will stand strong and hold that, because up above on the second floor there is a natural slate floor. Slate is very heavy, and then we got a piece of granite for the top of the island, and that piece of granite was 1,200 pounds. As I was setting that granite on top of the cabinets with George Allen from Alabama, I thought about my beam in the basement, thinking, man, I'm really glad I put in that engineered beam, and I'm really glad I put in those 3 2x6s on each side, and I really hope they stand strong, because I'm not positive this floor was made for all the slate and all the granite and the cabinets that we just put on top of it. I'm sure it will. Think of it this way. If one of the pillars of a building becomes weak, the other pillars, of course, have to hold the extra weight and the stress of the building, and if they don't, they won't remain standing. If a number of pillars are weak and the weight of the building will become too great for the remaining pillars to support, they will crumble. The same goes for our church or for the church family. We need to be there for each other take up the slack, go the extra mile, whatever analogy you wish to use, we need to stand strong and bear other people's burdens. Put in your notes Galatians 6 and verse 2 if you want. It says just that. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I like that. That's another if-then statement. If you bear one another's burdens, then you will fulfill the laws of Christ. It's part of obedience. This verse tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens and do something other than just pleasing ourselves. The world, as you know, is about pleasing and getting for themselves. We can help bear one another's burdens by giving to others, giving of our time, giving of our energies, giving of our encouragement, giving of our prayers on their behalf. We need to be there to support the church as a whole and also be there for individuals. I know you did that here just recently. You prayed fervently and you support one another. A physical pillar stands strong and helps to support the weight of other pillars around it by sharing the burden of the weight, burden of life. Standing strong in God's church, of course, is a long-term commitment. We all know many people who used to be here, and maybe in other congregations around the country, that did not choose to stand strong, and they're no longer here. We must strive to stand strong as a pillar and help bear the burden of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Point number 3, a pillar unifies. A pillar unifies. See, I'm missing my last page of my message, if you don't mind bringing that up at your convenience. A pillar unifies. Pillars unify a structure in that they connect the ground or the foundation to the roof, and they also connect the walls and floors to form the building. Without pillars, the components of a building would not be connected and unified, so this structure would not exist. Currently putting siding on a duplex in Jeffersonville, not too far from our church hall. It is an old building, and the pillars or the outside walls have some damage, so we're redoing them. It's what holds the roof up. These walls or these pillars, it's important. It used to be a slave's quarters for the brick house across the street. Somebody came across and told me, he says, I don't know if you know the history of this building or not. And I says, no, but I see a lot of history in it. Anyway, the house is still standing well. They built on a lean-to in the back for when running water came to Jeffersonville. There's a bathroom and kitchen in the back of each side of the duplex. But it's amazing that it's still standing. They are certain it had a fire in it at one time, and we're redoing that. That happened years ago, and then putting siding on it. But those pillars, those structures on the outside of the walls, help unify the building. We're putting some extra OSB, thick OSB, to help hold that together and help make it strong. Pillars unify a structure that they connect things. So we as Christians, or as we strive to be Christian pillars, we should be striving to be unifying. Help keep the church together. Connects the foundation. Of course, Christ is the chief cornerstone. Connected to the roof, which might be the ministry or the church administration. Christ, the ministry, and the church all need to be one or unified, even in our local congregations. We're all familiar with the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. That was used to lead, to keep Israel together. It was called a pillar of fire. It was used to keep the Israelites unified or together as they traveled through the wilderness in search of the promised land. God wants his people to be unified. Let's turn to Psalms 133 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 133. Title of my Bible says, or the heading of the Bible says, Blessed Unity of the People of God. If I read it out of the New American Standard Version, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded this blessing, life forever." So here David states how much it pleases God when we are unified as a people. He wants us to dwell together, be kind to each other, and dwell together in unity. Being a pillar helps us be unified as a group, as a body of Christ. Unity is extremely important, and a pillar helps that unity. We've all experienced times when a member misses a few Sabbaths or a family doesn't show up for whatever reason. It hurts the congregation. It's like, oh man, I wish they were there. I wish they could have been there. Everybody plays a different role in the church. Being a pillar means striving to promote unity in every way possible. To be unified, we all need to be on the same page. To use another analogy, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Again, there's different ways of saying that, but hopefully I'm driving home the point where the various choices you can make, little choices or big choices, that will help the family. I know a lot of times when I come home from work, Danielle and Michaela and Tammy are all doing pretty well. And I come home, I don't think I'm in a bad mood, but I can tell all of a sudden not everybody's as happy as they were before I came home. And it's like, I've got the power to unify, or I got a power to make everybody unhappy. Every one of us has that choice. When you walk in the door, it's like, you know what? I'm pretty tired. I'm just going to go sit down and just mind my own business. But if you come in and say, okay, I've got to be chipper, I've got to see how people are doing, I've got to smile, that unifies, that helps. Each of these are conscious decisions that we have to make. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, you're probably there. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, I'll read it out of the New American Standard again. It says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." A lot of times we have different ideas, especially as we get older and get maybe set in our ways, or different ideas that we have, that you can say, you know what, this is just not right. And you can tell everybody, I don't think it's right. This Louisville Family Feud, I told my wife, and I talked to Mr. Frozier, and I walked in, I was like, man, why we got a church event called a Family Feud? It's not what we want. You can make a big deal about, why didn't we rename that to be something different? Or, as Mr. Froch says, well, you know what, they didn't really fight on a TV show. It was a pretty good TV show, just kind of a game show where you guess different answers. What I'm trying to drive home is that there are choices that we can make. A person can cause division. Hey, did you see so-and-so what they were wearing? And they can cause division, or you can keep it to yourself, or maybe go to that person and talk to them directly. These are different choices that we can make that can keep us together or tear us apart. I cannot help but to add that the mind that we should have is the mind of Christ, and the judgment we use and possess is hopefully righteous, godly judgment. It takes everyone for us to compare ourselves to Christ. Not compare ourselves to each other, but compare ourselves to Christ and confirm with that example if we are aligning ourselves correctly. Then and only then can we be truly unified as a pillar in the Church of God. Again, I mentioned that we renovated a home and moved in 2 weeks ago. While building, we replaced that large beam. Again, it's a unifying beam, one that keeps together. I like the building concept. Many of you are builders. God, of course, is also a builder, and He created and He is building. He refers to His church as a building. He is growing a family. He is building and has a plan in action for a new world, a world and society in which everyone is healthy and, of course, mentally stable. It's a wonderful place and a time that we can do our part now so that we can be part of that family. As I read in the news, I wish our current president had more of a unifying attitude or approach to him. He is very much defensive of certain people, and it's not unifying. He's got a lot of strengths, but I'm not positive a unifying spirit is one of his strengths in different ways. I guess when I see that, I have no control over that. I can't help him. I am not one of his advisors. He doesn't look to me for any ideas at all. All I can do is look at myself and go, what do I do like that? Or how am I similar? In what way do I do similar things that are not unifying or encouraging to others? We need to be building ourselves into something that is respectable, something that is supportive, something that is aligned with the rest of this building, rest of this God family that God is creating. He has put Mr. Winter here. He's put other ministries here that when we look at them, it's like, man, those guys are growing. Those guys are Christ-like. We attended the feast in the Philippines, and there are several brethren there that are very gentle and very kind at the Philippine nature to start with, but they've no doubt worked on themselves to get that godly trait of being gentle and sweet and kind and compassionate, get those ingredients in themselves. They've done well at that. We need to be building ourselves into something that is similar, respectful, supportive, and aligned with Christ. In summary, brethren, as we begin to wrap up, let's think about the qualities of a pillar and how they relate to us as Christians. We need to remember the key ingredients of a Christian pillar is godly wisdom. I know in our prayers we pray about different things. We pray about things in our lives. We pray about things in our families' lives. Two focuses that I've had recently are praying that God's kingdom comes soon and praying that I grow in this wisdom, this art of living life in a manner that pleases God. So let's remember those three qualities of a pillar that we discussed today. A pillar provides support first. Secondly, a pillar stands strong and bears one another's burdens. And thirdly, a pillar unifies. Our final scripture will be Revelation 3 and verse 12. Revelation 3 and verse 12. You're welcome to put Revelation 3, 11 through 13 in your notes. I'll start out in the New King James Version. Revelation 3 and verse 11 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one takes your crown. He who overcomes," in other words, he who grows, "I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." So verse 12 there, he who overcomes, he who works on themselves and prays for wisdom, improves, ages well, I will make him a pillar in my church. I'll make him a pillar in my kingdom. So here Christ talks about the future where we have an opportunity to be a pillar in God's temple. To fulfill this scripture, we need to be striving to have the qualities of a pillar reflected in us in our daily lives. The question is, what are we doing now? What did we do last week? What did we do today? Or what can we do this coming week so that we can become a better pillar in God's church?